3,000 people they get killed by the Muslim people. 3,000 people they get killed by the Muslim people. Don't forget them. Thank you.
If they put the mosque there, I think it's a great loss. It will become the icon. It will become Mecca on the Hudson. It will become the symbol of Islamic conquest on the West.
Well, in a new report, the human rights group warns about the increasing anti-Muslim sentiment in America. The report mentions a number of recent crimes against Muslims. These include the recent stabbing of a Muslim cabbie in New York. It also brings up an arson against a mosque under construction in Tennessee. This, as well as a Florida pastor's vastly publicized threat to burn Qurans on 9/11. Amnesty says these crimes foster a climate of fear, discrimination, and persecution against Muslims. The organization is now urging U.S. authorities to take strong action against attacks targeting America's Muslim community.
Well, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, along with former U.S. Senator Mike Grewal, call for a new investigation into the destruction of the World Trade Center skyscrapers on 9/11. Group organizers say there is hard evidence of an explosive demolition of the World Trade Center high-rises. Press TV's Rhonda Pence has more.
On the hills of the anniversary of 9/11, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth say the American public has been fed a storyline about what happened on 9/11/2001, when reportedly 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked four commercial passenger jet airliners and crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, killing everyone on board and many others working in the buildings.
The official story is a lie. It's a fraud.
Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth say critically important evidence regarding the destruction of three World Trade Center towers has emerged, showing preset explosives were used in the demolition of the buildings.
There had to be explosives. There's no other way for the building to come down symmetrically straight down. Like a tree, if you cut into the tree, it falls to the side that you cut.
The Twin Towers suffered total destruction in 10 to 14 seconds in near free fall accelerations. Experts here say that can only occur as a result of preset demolition explosives.
Once we take the blinders off, we can see. There's very few people in America who have taken the blinders off. So we're assisting people by showing them the evidence.
The group also asserts that molten metal was found post the 9/11 inquiry.
Jet fuel and office fires cannot melt iron or steel. They don't get even half as hot as that. And so something else was there that's very energetic material that had to be placed throughout the buildings.
How could they be so bold as to pull the largest crime, the crime of the century, really, and expect to get away with it? And in fact, they did.
If there is a responsible party, it ends with Bush and comes down to Cheney, and then comes down through the military and the various bureaucracies that come. No question, this kind of activity goes to the very top.
Finally,
architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth are calling on U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to request a federal grand jury investigation into this alleged cover-up. For Press TV, Rhonda Pence, Washington.
People across the U.S. are preparing to commemorate the 9th anniversary of the September 11th attacks.
Capturing or killing bin Laden and Zawahiri would be extremely important to our national security. Doesn't solve all our problems, but it remains a high priority of this administration. One of the things that we've been very successful at over the last 2 years is to ramp up the pressure on al-Qaeda and their key leaders.
Official accounts say 19 men hijacked four commercial airliners and turned them into weapons. Not too long afterwards, Washington blamed former Saudi CIA coordinator Osama bin Laden for the attacks. And now, after 9 years, the most wanted man in the world is still at large. Many experts are questioning the U.S. government's resolve to really find bin Laden. Well, for more on that story, we're now joined by Mark Dankoff, who is a former U.S. Senate candidate, who joins us via satellite from San Antonio. Mr. Dankoff, thank you very much for joining our broadcast. Now, those who question the official take on 9/11 are labeled conspiracy theorists, not only by Americans, but by many worldwide, including many in Muslim countries. Can this be attributed to the U.S. media's power or of the hard sell that a plan so evil could have been masterminded by other than those who are blamed?
Well, I think to really understand this, you have to go back to what happened several generations ago with the Kennedy assassination. In the beginning, of course, the American government produced the so-called Warren Commission, which indicated that the president was killed by one person firing three shots from a sixth-floor window in the Texas School Book Depository. Lee Harvey Oswald, we were told, acted alone. He was not a part of a conspiracy. However, that all began to unravel through the 1960s. As several people, including Mark Lane, produced some very disquieting information in regard to discrepancies between what had been said by the Parkland Hospital doctors in Dallas and what was said by the military physicians that attended to the president's autopsy at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland. All of those questions began to raise even further questions about the scientific veracity of the official stories to what happened to Kennedy. And that, of course, was quickly followed by those who became convinced that the truth had not been told, and they began to look for other explanations in regard to who was behind the president's death. I kind of see that same thing emerging with 9/11 as well. And to me, yes, there are conspiracy theories that are crazy. There are also conspiracy theories that are legitimate ones that are based upon very solid data that has not been refuted by the official version of things, either related, in this case, to the Kennedy assassination or to 9/11. And I find it particularly interesting that just in the last couple of days, someone sent me something via email here in San Antonio indicating that the president of the American Jewish Congress was issuing a statement, or had issued a statement, decrying extremists who believe that the 9/11 version of events provided by the U.S. government is in fact false, and that these extremists were in effect acting out of malice and out of unsound mind. That's not a direct quote, but that basically is the idea that was being conveyed. This is the same sort of thing that we saw in the 1960s and early 70s with the Kennedy assassination, and I anticipate we're going to get more of the same when it comes to 9/11.
Ernest, sir, soon after 9/11, the question of how the towers could fall the way they did, as well as the collapse of Building 7, were brought up by many, yet this was ignored. Will Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth coming out in support of this question give rise to a much-needed discussion on this?
Well, it certainly should. If people go to my website, Mark Dankoff's America at markdankoff.com, and you go to my links page there, you'll see that I have that website link to the so-called Engineers and Architects for 9/11 Truth. And this is one of the things that I found to be most profoundly disturbing when I started looking at the scientific credentials of some of the people who were a part of this organization. I mean, after all, we're talking about numbers of people with earned PhDs in physics who have provided explanations to those of us who are scientifically lay people, which includes me, as to why the official story simply could not have happened in the way that the U.S. government said that it happened. And I'm satisfied, frankly, after reading the work of Dr. Stephen Jones, the former professor at Brigham Young University, and a number of the other people connected with this 9/11 Truth organization, that in fact these towers were brought down by a controlled thermite explosion, which of course suggests, or in effect necessitates, that those charges had to have been planted in those buildings. That then raises the question, by whom and why? That, in conjunction with some very mysterious things that have come to light as early as 2002 in the French magazine Le Monde, underscored to me that Israeli intelligence had more than a passing involvement in at least having foreknowledge of what was going to happen on September the 11th. There are those who believe that, in fact, Israeli intelligence might have had a more active role in at least directing some of what was going on through potential Mossad moles inside the al-Qaeda organization. I don't have inside information on that, but I find it to be significant that in February of 2009, the New York Times ran a story that a fellow in Lebanon, Ali al-Jarrah, had been arrested as an Israeli spy. He had worked apparently for the Israeli Mossad for 25 years. He had posed very successfully as an activist for the Palestinians and for Hamas and for Hezbollah, only to have it revealed a quarter of a century later that he was in the employ of the Israeli Mossad the whole time. And in that New York Times expose of February of 2009, they admitted that Ali al-Jarrah had a cousin, I believe a second cousin, Ziad al-Jarrah, who in fact was one of the 9/11 hijackers. This does not prove, of course, that Ziad al-Jarrah himself had any connection to the Israeli Mossad, but I think we can establish firmly and factually that there were at least five Israeli Mossad agents who had Mohammed Atta under surveillance for a significant period of time before the 9/11 attacks. They lived just down the street from him in Hollywood, Florida. And then, of course, this Drug Administration official in the United States who released information to the French magazine Le Monde in early 2002 did so because he was absolutely convinced that the American government was covering up the full extent of Israel's foreknowledge of the attacks, and that basically the Israeli intelligence community allowed this whole thing to transpire at a bare minimum for interests unrelated to anything that the average American has really been told by our news media.
I'd like to get this last question in briefly, if I may. The U.S. national security strategy essentially calls for a new world order with U.S. dominance secure in every aspect. Now, why aren't Americans willing to question why bin Laden's not been caught yet and why Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, etc. are blamed for all of the woes of the world?
Well, that's a very compelling question. We might ask the same question in regard to why the American public has never had the full details of the Jonathan Pollard spy case explained to them, has never had Israel's direct involvement in attacking the USS Liberty in June of 1967 and killing 34 Americans explained to them. The average American knows nothing about the Levant affair, where it has been very firmly established factually that in 1954, Pinhas Levon, the then foreign minister of Israel, directed a black operational national security operation in conjunction with Israeli intelligence that was designed and in fact did set off explosives at post offices in Egypt and set off explosives at American libraries in Cairo and Alexandria with the express purpose of blaming Egypt for something that in effect was an Israeli operation in order that the United States might launch a military operation against Egypt in retaliation. Now, this is absolutely factual, and your listeners can check this out on the net. It's called the Levant Affair, L-A-V-O-N, the Levant Affair, and it's absolutely suggestive of what could have taken place all these years later when we get to September the 11th, 2001.
All right, that was Mr. Mark Dankoff, former U.S. Senate candidate, joining us there via satellite from San Antonio. Sir, thank you very much for your insight.
Well, moving on to the world news here on Press TV, Iran has called off the release of a female detained American citizen due to unresolved legal issues. Tehran's Prosecutor General Abbas Ja'fari Dolatabadi has told Press TV that the judicial proceedings in the American defendant's case have not been completed. He denies reports that Iran will release the American woman on Saturday. Sarah Short was arrested along with Shane Bauer and Josh Fatal in July 2009 after illegally entering Iran from neighboring Iraq.
It is 3:15 in the morning here in Tehran. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Amnesty International warns of a rising number of anti-Muslim crimes in the U.S. American specialists reject the official U.S. account of what happened on 9/11.
The official story is a lie. It's a fraud.
And on the 9th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, the alleged head of Al-Qaeda is still at large.
Capturing or killing bin Laden and Zawahiri would be extremely important to our national security.
Well, just ahead here on Press TV, the latest from scandals that have hit French politics. Don't go away. A report says whistleblower website WikiLeaks is about to release, quote, a massive cache of classified U.S. military field reports on the war in Iraq. Newsweek cites one of the London-based Bureau of Investigative Journalism's experts as saying that it will be the biggest leak of military intelligence so far. The expert said the reports will be made public in the next few weeks. Newsweek says the documents on the Iraq war are believed to be about three times as many as the number of reports on the war in Afghanistan. In July 2010, WikiLeaks published over 70,000 secret U.S. military documents on the Afghan war. The website says it will release another 15,000 confidential American reports on the war in Afghanistan soon.